Well, just going back over this past week and starting in the United States, we didn't have a lot of data, but there was one piece of information which really was quite eye-catching, and that was the ISM Non-Manufacturing Purchasing Index. This is counts for about 90% of the economy. It covers services, and this is the survey of businesses in that area. And it's strengthening again. And we're expecting it to strengthen a little to 52.0 from 50.6 the previous month. It went up to 53.4. That's now into strong territory. And so this key lead indicator of a large part of the US economy is now showing pretty strong economic growth ahead. No sign of continuing weakening. So, this may prove to be an issue as we go a little bit further ahead. There wasn't a lot of other data last week. We had things like initial jobless claims. That's still holding low. So for the most recent week, initial jobless claims came down to 218,000 from 227,000. That's entirely consistent with non-farm payrolls still being up around about the 300,000 a month mark. So, that's going to be a bit of a concern for the Fed as well, that things are just a bit too tight. This week, the market's going to the optimistic side, at least for the first part of the week, because the key piece of information this week out of the US is the January Consumer Price Index. And this one, they hope, will be the same as the previous month, 0.2% for the headline CPI month on month, and 0.3% month on month for the core CPI. If that's the way things work out, then the headline CPI would come down on a year-on-year basis from 3.3% to 2.9%. That'll be the first time below 3% in this cycle, but of course, remembering the Fed's target's 2, so it's still got a long way to go to get down to there. We were at 3% briefly, going back to June last year, so we've had a flip back up in the annual inflation rate before getting down, we think, to these sorts of levels. Of course, it will be a concern if we get an upside surprise on that and we don't get down there. The core CPI, showing more of the inflation pressure which is running through the US still, nowhere near as good. That's expected on 0.3% month on month to come down to 3.8% year on year from 3.9. So that's still well north of the Fed's target. We'll get a lot of other information coming out this week too, relating to some of the regional manufacturing PMI style readings. We get the New York Empire State Survey, Philadelphia Fed Survey coming out later during the week. And both of those are expected to be better than they were last month. The goods producing part of the US economy is obviously the weakest part. And particularly the New York Empire State Survey, that had a real wobble last month, went all the way down to minus 43.7. That's expected to improve to minus 12.5. When it comes out this week. And the Philadelphia Fed survey at minus 10.6 is expected to come up to minus 8. Initial jobless claims are still expected to be tracking when they come out on Thursday at pretty low levels. And then we get things like retail sales. Retail sales were very strong through November and December. In December, retail sales in the US lifted by 0.6% and core retail sales are up 0.4%. The market's looking for some pullback in that to a 0.1% increase for January retail sales and 0.2% for core retail sales. A little bit of moderation, but obviously they don't want to see anything too much stronger than that. We also get a lot of housing data. We get the February National Association of Home Builders Index. That has been softer over recent months. It was at 44 going back to January. Is expected to lift to 46 for the month of February. And we also get building permits and housing starts. They've been mostly firm and expected to be quite firm for the month of January reading. So we get plus 1.3%, we think, for January, from a plus 1.8% reading going back the month before. And housing starts, which had one wobble going back to December where they were down by 4.3%, that came after a 10% rise the month before. They're expected to lift around about 0.7%. Right at the end of the week too, we'll get the producer price index reading out of the US. This is mostly goods, so it is on the softer side, looking for that 0.1% month-on-month increase running through that. It's keeping the annual rate of change on a core basis around high ones, services prices obviously are running much higher than that, including their pipeline. We also get the mid-month Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey. This had a big lift in the first part of the survey, which comes out at the beginning of the month. It lifted from 69.7 the previous month. That 69.7 was up from around 60 the month before that. It lifted to 79 for the first reading we got. That's expected to lift a bit further with the late part of the survey to 80. So you know, quite a bit of strength in this leading indicator as well. So you know, the pressure point's still there in the US. It's looking too strong in the growth to get the CPI comfortably down to 2% and stay there, which is what the Fed needs. So you know, very much leaning towards the Fed taking longer, a lot longer, before it can start to think about lowering interest rates. China last week, we got a few figures there. People are looking at China and expecting any tick of the clock, you know, the Chinese or Chinese authorities are going to announce a large stimulus package. Now, that wouldn't be unexpected, but it's still in the wings because they're still trying to work out how that stimulus package can really affect what has to rise in China over the longer term, and that's consumer spending. So typical way these stimulus packages work, if it were announced, and this week it probably may not be because we've got Chinese New Year holidays all week long in China, but the typical way these work are to stimulate fixed asset investment spending, particularly building projects. Well, China's already got too much of that, and so the rate of return on that type of investment is very close to zero. And on top of that, it risks having redundant excess capacity down the track. So yeah, that's not exactly the most helpful form. So the Chinese are struggling with that a bit to try and work out what to do. As far as the indicators are going, we had their services sector PMI. It was at 52.9 going back to December. It just drifted down a little bit to 52.9 going back to December. It went down to 52.7 for the month of January. We also had the January CPI and producer prices. You know, this shows the amount of excess capacity that they've got in the Chinese economy, particularly in the goods producing sector. The year-on-year for the CPI went from minus 0.3% year-on-year to minus 0.8% year-on-year. So they got deflation in consumer prices, and producer pricing suggests a lot more of that in the pipeline because the year-on-year for the producer price index in the month of January was minus 2.5% year-on-year from minus 2.7% the year before. As I mentioned, it's a week of holidays now in China, so we won't get much more out of there. Moving to Australia, and it was a big week last week because we got the RBA, its new form of the monetary policy meeting or the interest rate setting meeting, which ran over 2 days. We also got the governor's press conference. We got a lot more detail on what the RBA is planning. And it was a great deal of information well presented because it was a lot clearer than it had been in the past. And even though the market's trying to toy with ideas of the cash rate coming down and coming down relatively quickly, the RBA was almost at pains to point out that, yes, at some point in the future, they will be looking at starting to bring interest rates down, but it's not imminent. There's a lot that's got to fall in place before that can happen. And they showed it very, very clearly in their forecast for the first time. For the first time, you know, we have a lot more detail in the forecast they produce with the quarterly monetary policy statement, including their assumptions about the cash rate. And their assumptions about the cash rate are that there will be no change in the cash rate for the first half of this year. But if certain things happen the way they hope and expect, there's a possibility we might get a couple of interest rate cuts in the later part of the year. But even going well beyond that, there's not much room for cutting way beyond that. So, for example, we're currently at 4.35% for the cash rate. Expect that in December this year, perhaps to be down to 3.9%. And by the time they get to the furthest point of their forecast, 18 months later, in June 2026, perhaps getting the cash rate down to 3.2%. But to get there, certain things have to fall into place. And the first one is, and the governor was at pains to stress this in the press conference, and also when she talked to Parliament basically during the week, wages can't go any higher than where they are now. And wage growth is currently at 4% year on year on the wage price index. They have forecasts of 4.1% year on year for the next wage price index, which will come out next week, and also for June of 2024. Then wages have to start to fade a bit, and they've got wages getting all the way down to 3.2% year on year by the middle of 2026. And it has to go hand in hand with a big change in productivity. Labour productivity is currently falling at a rate of 2.1% year on year. The RBA is assuming that when we get the December quarter GDP out, that labour productivity, which is basically GDP per hour worked, that it will improve from minus 2.1% year on year to minus 0.5%, and then by the middle of this year, it will jump sharply to 3% year on year. If you don't get that, you can't have wages growing anywhere near as fast as they've got to be consistent with inflation coming down to their target over the course of the next year and a half. So all told, a very, very interesting meeting. They're really laying it down and saying, look, you've still actually got a slight bias to actually lift rates further if things don't work out the way you need. And we really do need productivity to lift and lift sharply. Otherwise, we've already got wages which are too high and will keep inflation too high. So what it really suggests is that we even shouldn't start thinking about the rate cuts for many, many months yet. It's going to take a lot of information, both on the wage side and the labour productivity side. That only comes out quarterly, and we need at least a couple of quarters of that. So realistically, there's no real chance of any sort of rate cut this side of the middle of the year. And even beyond, it may take one or two to the later part of the year before we start to see conditions getting to that point. The other interesting part out of the Reserve Bank forecast is something which has been missed by many. Many are pointing, obviously, to real household income when you allow for household income. When you take out interest costs, when you take out tax paid, and you allow for inflation, real household income has really been collapsing over the last few quarters. Well, in the Reserve Bank forecast, it's claim that stops very abruptly through this year. And why does it stop abruptly? Well, first of all, interest rates are not going any higher, so that's containing the growth in that. The second point is that the inflation rate has come down and is now actually sitting a little bit below the inflation rate. That's going to be helping in terms of lifting real household disposable income. And the tax take changes dramatically from the middle of the year. So you go from deeply negative growth in household disposable income to the strongest growth on the Reserve Bank's forecasts in household disposable income we will have seen in at least 15 years. So there's actually quite a deal of pressure coming back to demand as you get into the second half of the year. So we've got all these pressure points to contain. It's, as you say, all told, a pretty interesting meeting. We did have some other information came out through the course of the week from Australia. We had fourth quarter resale sales in real terms, and they proved to be quite a bit stronger than expected. They actually improved relative to Q3. So Q4 retail sales, which will go into the Q4 GDP, when we get that coming through at the beginning of next month, They lifted by 0.3% quarter on quarter. On revision, that was after falling 0.1% the quarter before that. So if anything, the demand side is just a little bit on the firm side too. And the Reserve Bank referred to that too. Moving ahead, what have we got this week? Well, we've got various sentiment surveys in that business sentiment survey. Business sentiment's been holding up pretty well. You know, where businesses have been with their profits, that was at plus 7 going back to December, probably a similar read for January. Business confidence hasn't been so good. It was minus 1 going back to December, and again, similar sort of reading probably likely for the month of January. We also get Westpac consumer sentiment. Westpac consumer sentiment was down 1.3% going back to January, and it's probably going to flatline a bit. Running for the February reading as well. Then the key reading of the week really relates to the labour market, and we get employment and the unemployment rates for January coming out on Thursday. We had a large fall in employment going back to the month of December, but that followed two huge lifts months before that. Typically, you get a lot of bounce in these things, and the market's looking for a 30,000 increase in employment for the most recent month. The participation rate came back a bit too, going back last month to 66.8%. It had been above 67% the month before that. It's expected to stay around that. And the unemployment rate will probably drift up a touch to 4% from 3.9%. That's probably, the Reserve Bank's going to need figures like that to come in, because it does actually need the labour market to soften to stand any chance of getting that moderation in annual wage growth that is looking for later this year. So watching that figure too to see how it is relatively. If it comes in strongly again, you know, that bias might come a little bit stronger towards hiking rates further. If it comes in on the soft side, it doesn't give them any chance to really ease monetary policy any sooner, because they're waiting for wages and also lower productivity. And wage growth, will get Q4 last year wage growth for the wage price index coming up a week after, so that one will certainly bear watching. Moving to Europe and the indicators out of Europe, still pretty soft. You know, Europe is in a mild recession at the moment, although it's not showing yet in the labour market. The labour market is still quite tight and puts the ECB between a rock and a hard place when they're trying to consider what to do with monetary policy there. The services sector PMI, most countries have got services sector PMIs north of 50, in other words, in expansionary territory. Not in Europe. Generally, services PMI, 48.4, so below 50. We had Centix investor confidence improved a little, if you can call it that. It went from minus 15.8 to minus 12.9. Producer prices are falling in Europe because they've got a bit of excess capacity there too. Down 0.8%, down 10.6% year on year. And we also had December retail sales, where they fell month on month by 1.1%. So quite weak readings there. And we'll see it in the one key reading that comes out this week. We've already had the first read of Q4 GDP in Europe. It won't get any better, we think. So GDP was up 0.1% quarter on quarter. Absolutely flat year on year, so right on that border of recession territory for Europe. But broadly speaking, this week it's the US CPI coming out on Tuesday night, which will be important on the US side. And here we're looking at the labour market indicators. For the time being, markets are looking for the best of all worlds, and that means that are still convinced that, you know, central banks are getting really close to cutting interest rates, even though they're saying they're not. This is all going to go hand in hand with economies which are not just soft landing, but are having quite firm landing. So it's good for company profits. You know, obviously, those things are mutually incompatible, but it's going to take a while before we see which way that busts. So just waiting to see how these things develop over the next week or two.